You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
I'm so happy to be back in the swing of season two with our second episode. I told you we mean business. Thank you for tuning into the Women Are Worthy podcast at Up to Me Radio. My name is Jacqueline Charles, the host and the creator of the Women Are Worthy podcast show. I want to thank you guys for supporting our show. Continue to share the page and everything, and I'll give you all the links. Don't forget to subscribe to our show by going to the Up to Me Radio website, up2me2radio.com website, and select the Women Are Worthy show. Subscribe to the show. Also, sharing is caring, and tell your friends about us. The Women Are Worthy mission is to apply the 3E formula to each and every broadcast and podcast. The 3E formula, in the event you're not familiar with our show, we're here to educate, empower, and entertain. So buckle up and enjoy the ride. That ride that you're on with us will get bumpy, but trust me, as time goes by, the ride will be smooth sailing. I want to send a special shout out to our number one supporter, Atlanta Life Media Agency, for sponsoring and supporting the Women Are Worthy podcast. Thank you, Atlanta Life Media Agency. Atlanta Life Media Agency is a premier Georgia television and film entertainment, behind-the-scenes camera production, support, and consultant agency. Please, please check them out. Their website is www.atlma.net. Let me repeat that again. Their website is www.atlma.net. That's Atlanta Life Media Agency. That's where connections are made. If you'd like to join in or tune into our conversation or possibly be a sponsor, please email us at info@uptomeradio. Sponsors, if you're listening, I know you want to sponsor this show. Our email address is info@uptomeradio.com. That's the number 2meradio.com. Now, with general housekeeping out of the way, I decided this season I was going to step out my comfort zone with topics that we really need to be addressed and discussed. Sometimes some of the topics may make me a little uncomfortable, but at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about our community. Women who are the demographics that I am basically targeting is 45 and over. And these are things that we really need to talk about. I myself have spoken to many women who have come to me for relationship advice because guess what? Next month, I'll be married 29 years, and I've successfully coached women through their relationships. Now, few of the women that I've spoken with have told me that they're happy in their relationships, but there's one area that they're having consistent issues with. So the issue and the topic we're talking about is the area that they're having issues with is sexless, being in a sexless marriage. Yes, that's what I said, being in a sexless marriage, no intimacy. So as a matter of fact, I had this conversation with a girlfriend of mine. I was telling her I was thinking about doing this topic, but I'm not quite sure. I was a little nervous. And she told me I better do the show because she has lived in a sexless marriage with her husband who passed. I made this about me. I just quite didn't understand why she couldn't talk to me about being in a sexless marriage. She was isolated. She didn't have anyone to talk to about this with. So she told me that she was embarrassed, and more importantly, she didn't want to embarrass her husband. So what I found out with our next guest and doing research on this topic, 1 in 4 marriages, these people are not having sex. That's 25% of marriages are not having sex. Remember, this is a non-judgmental platform. So today's episode, this episode is called Sexless Marriages, Live Your Best Life by Living an Orgasmic Life. That's right. And this guest has a wealth of information. Our guest is an author. She's an intimacy coach, a holistic pelvic practitioner who worked in the healthcare field for over 25 years. She's also a woman who lived in a sexless marriage for more than 15 years. It's my honor and privilege to welcome Ms. Janae Pillay to our show. Hello, Janae. How are you?
Hello, Jackie. I'm doing great. So nice to be here.
Honey, can I say, first of all, I'm going to say this and I want to put this out there. Janae, I've created a safe platform for you so you can share with us. We have many questions to ask you, but I just want you to know that we have created a safe environment because I realized talking to my girlfriend that she needed to feel like she was had a safe environment where she could talk about this sensitive topic.
Yeah, thank you so much for saying that. I think that is like one of the biggest challenges is that women don't have a safe space to be able to talk about sex. So creating that environment through the show is such a gift to all the women who are listening, right? It's such a huge gift to be able to do that.
It is. And first and foremost, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey? Because, Janae, when I found you, I can honestly say I felt like we're kindred spirits because when I'm talking to you, I can just listen to you for days and days and days. So tell the audience, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Thank you. I think you said to me, like, you feel like you found your twin sister. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a lawyer. I'm actually a healthcare lawyer by training. That's professionally how I started out. And I got married when I was pretty young. I was 24 years old. I think you said that you're going about to celebrate your 29th anniversary. I probably would have been celebrating like my 32nd or so at this point if we were still married, maybe something around those lines. I was basically living in New York City and I had two children. I got married at 24. I was done with my kids at 28. So got them over pretty early in my life, which was wonderful. I was very career driven and very also focused on, you know, being a good mom and being a good wife. And, you know, on the outside, people who saw us would just assume that we were living this great, wonderful life, beautiful apartment in New York City. Our kids were doing really well. We both were lawyers, both, you know, had good careers. But the truth was that inside I was really suffering, because we were living essentially in a sexless marriage. You know what? Sexless marriage is defined as having sex less than 10 times a year. And that's a lot of couples. It's probably even more than 25% of the population. And honestly, you know, Jackie, the fact that we were living in a sexless marriage, it didn't start like that. You know, we did have sex in the beginning when we first met in law school. But I always had a problem with sex, and it started way, way, way back from like the very first time I had sex, which was sex was really painful for me. Penetration hurt. And it never, ever got any better. Not wanting to have sex that much was kind of my motto, right? Because you don't want to subject yourself to something that's painful, and especially if there's no pleasure in it. So it's not like my husband didn't try, my ex-husband didn't try to please me. He did. He tried to be a good lover, but I just couldn't receive it. I couldn't receive pleasure. And ultimately what happened was we just stopped having sex. First the sex went, then like the cuddling went, then the kissing went, then the intimacy went. We were not able to talk about what was going on in our sex life because neither one of us really had very good communication skills around it. We became more and more distant. And we were really good parents. right? We were good, like, you know, partners in life, if you will, but we were not lovers. And, you know, ultimately we ended up sleeping in separate beds, you know, after a period of time. It just, it was more because, like, I had restless leg syndrome, he had a hard time sleeping, we were a bad combination, right? And, you know, and that's what happened. And I was in that marriage for 26 years. We actually signed our settlement agreement on our 26th, what would have been our 26th wedding anniversary.
So would you say that was the main reason why you and your husband divorced, because you weren't having sex?
No, it was definitely not the main reason. It was I think it was a major reason. There were other issues. We were building up a lot of, there was a lot of, you know, resentment that was building up in the relationship for a variety of different reasons. We were not emotionally connected with each other. We started growing apart, like doing kind of different things. He was unfortunately having to work very hard in a job that he really hated. And I was branching out and doing things that I was very passionate about. So, you know, we were on different pathways. But, you know, what I really truly believe, and I see this with a lot of couples, like, it wasn't the only reason, but I think, but for the fact that we were not having sex, we might have been able to save the relationship. But the intimacy at that point was, there was no intimacy, there was no connection, you know, and it was very hard at a certain point to be able to bring it back for us.
You mentioned this lack of intimacy. My question to you is, you had two children. Did they know, were they still in the household when you had separate bedrooms? And if they were, how do you explain that to your kids that you're sleeping in separate bedrooms?
Oh, such a great question. Well, it was an easy explanation. You know, mom has restless legs, so she kicks dad at night. Dad has a hard time sleeping because, you know, he was suffered with insomnia. So being in the same bed was a problem. And usually one of us ended up sleeping. We were in an apartment, right, a three-bedroom apartment. One of us ended up sleeping in one of our kids' beds. So, you know, I think it's a really interesting question because I have these recollections of, like, when my kids were teenagers, I have two boys, saying to us, you know, daddy kiss mommy, or dad kiss mom, or why don't you kiss mom? And we kind of looked at each other sheepishly, right? And maybe he came and gave me a little bit of a pack, but I think they were starting to realize, like, oh, maybe this isn't right. There's something that's going on. I'm sure that they realized there were other things that were not going well in the relationship as well, right? Kids are super smart. But I think they were also beginning to become aware as they came into their own sexuality that, like, whoa, what's going on here? Why aren't my parents, why don't I see my parents touching each other? Why don't I see my parents kissing each other? Why don't they spend a lot of time with each other? Yeah, I think my kids asked that question for sure.
And I'm saying this because I know growing up with my grandfather, he was very, very affectionate. Oh, my God. I mean, if you sneeze, he wanted to hug you. My grandmother, on the other hand, she wasn't affectionate, but I was closer to my grandfather. And I've noticed since starting going down this journey with you, when I, you know, found you and I wanted to do this topic, I looked in within my family. So thanks again for me reexamining my family. But what I noticed, yeah, the ones, my siblings who were closer to my dad, we're all affectionate. The ones who were closer to my grandmother, they're not affectionate. It's almost like when you want to hug someone and they stiffen up. That's how that side of the family is. So how are you, since you were raising two boys and they're going out into the world, did you ever have a conversation with them about intimacy, about touching? Did you have that kind of a conversation with them?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, I wasn't doing sex and intimacy coaching when my kids were growing up, right? I was still, like, doing my law work and some other work in healthcare. But, you know, we actually, it's so interesting. We actually had a pretty, we were pretty sexually open with our kids. We were just open in general and honest with our children. And interestingly enough, I think it's my husband who really had the sex conversations with my boys, not me. But, you know, I have memories of, you know, when my older son was in high school and he had a girlfriend, you know, and she came over, like, we let them, you know, go into his room and play or whatever. I think even one night they had a sleepover. You know, we wanted them to have, you know, obviously they were educated on protection and I don't really know what my husband told them, but I think he probably gave them a pretty positive conversation, a pretty positive discussion. But we wanted them to feel like they had a safe place, you know, where like they didn't have to like have sex outdoors in Central Park or whatever, like that they actually had a safe place. So even though we didn't, I don't think, necessarily model it very well in terms of our own intimacy, it's interesting, in talking about it with our children, we did create, like, it's okay for you to have sex. It's a good thing, you know, for you to have sex and to have it in a safe place where you don't have to hide it. So I think we were pretty open around sex in that way.
Well, I'm going to be talking about some things about myself, so, and I don't have a problem sharing, because sharing is caring and this is a safe environment. I remember my husband and I had a conversation once, maybe 4 years ago, and he said to me, he told me, he says, Jackie, if anything happens to you and let's say you become a paraplegic or something like that, I still want to be with you. You know, if we get older and we're not able to have sex, I'll still want to be with you. And Janae, I'm going to be honest, I looked at him, and he's waiting for my response. I'm like, dude, I'm out of here. I'm on the first thing smoking. I'm going to take care of you, but I'm going to need something. And then I realized, you know, of course, you know, that was 4 years ago. I'm going to be honest with you because we're having conversations, and we got to be honest about it. And then I thought about it later on, and I said, wait a minute. It's not all about sex. Because, you know, when you get to be 90 or 109, whatever, you know, I'm sure the sex stops eventually. I don't know when, but I'm sure it stops. And I said to myself, Jackie, that's a selfish thing to say. And I'm not trying to model my answer from his answer. What I really, you're with a good man, Jackie. He's a good guy. Are you really telling me that you're going to leave him because you can't have sex? You know, let's say at 50, 55, or 60, are you really serious about that? And I said, okay, the selfish side of me was, yeah, I'm telling the truth. But then you can have sex with someone outside the marriage. I'm not talking about while you're married. What I mean by, let me explain, you divorce him, you meet someone, you want to marry this person, and the sex sucks. But the conversation is great. Here you have everything, so now because of one thing missing, you have to build an intimate relationship. Again, intimacy, as you said, is defined in so many ways, a look, a touch, a smile, a conversation. And then I really grew up after I had that conversation with myself and said, you know what, I'll stay with him no matter what, because I did put, we did, you know, we have a vow, we have a covenant. So, but I just asked God, please don't let that happen. You know, I'm going to be honest. I did say that. Please don't let that happen. But in the event of just listening to what you're saying about, you know, the intimacy, can you give us the definition of intimacy? Because that's my definition. You're the expert here. So can you please educate me on this, please?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. So I think about intimacy, if you actually break it down phonetically, into me. So into me, I see. So my definition of like, what does intimacy really mean, and what do I help couples with when I'm working with them on intimacy, is like really being very authentic and vulnerable with each other, creating a lot of empathy for each other, because empathy is what allows us to stay in connection, right? Intimacy is about staying connected with somebody. And when we're out of connection, right, we build up anger, we build up resentments, we stop having sex, especially for women. Like if we don't feel intimately connected with a partner, if there's anger or resentment building up, then heck, we don't want to have sex with them, right? It's the last thing that you want to do. So one of the things when I think about intimacy, it's like, how do I, like what you're talking about, like how do I stay in connection with my partner by going through the process that you just went through of like the empathy, like what would it be like if he was disabled or a paraplegic or was unable to connect with me, like how hard that would be to be in his shoes as well. So that's one, that's how I really think about, you know, intimacy. I know intimacy is a euphemism for sex, right?
Right.
But I actually think that sex and intimacy are two different things. Sex is sex. Sex is the act of having sex. It's a physical thing. And to me, intimacy is more about the emotional connection and being really authentic with, you know, with your partner. And also, like, I want to say in your scenario, it's also okay to have needs, right? Like, you know, I mean, this may sound, you know, a little out there Californian, but I'm going to say it, right? Like, I have worked with couples where one partner cannot have sex, right? Either doesn't want to have sex, is physically unable to have sex. And while we work on ways for them to have more intimacy and, you know, and touch, like there's other ways to have sex without actually having, you know, intercourse. Sometimes like I will say, you know what, maybe like you just need to get that need met consensually outside of the marriage, right? Maybe you need to find a lover that your partner is totally okay with that need for you without it having an impact on the fact that you still want to be with each other. And those are choices that people can make. I know, does that sound really crazy? But I just had to say that.
No. It doesn't sound crazy, but for me, being me, look, I'm going to talk about me. For me being me, I'm just thinking that, okay, if I'm going to consent, because I understand the person who disabled or whatever they're going through, they want to make sure that their lover, because you feel guilty, and, you know, I get that. But I would be thinking, I don't want you to hook up or have sex, just sex with someone, because again, for men, it's just a physical sometimes, and with women, it's emotional. So we choose someone that you can go have sex with, and next thing, you develop a relationship with that person. So I just don't think I can get with that. For me, I just don't think that's for me. I'm not talking for other people. I just don't think I can do that. You mentioned intimacy. What is an intimacy coach?
So I call myself a sex and intimacy coach. And what I do is I typically mostly work with women, and I work with couples and do a little bit of work with men, but mostly it's women and couples. And I help, you know, couples who are in sexless marriages or not having the sex life that they like learn how they can have a better relationship. And the relationship is like capital R. So it's both the relationship piece of like, how are we communicating or not communicating about our needs, and how we, what we need from each other. And then what is it that we're not getting sexually that we really want? Like so many couples have a hard time having that conversation about sex and what they like. Maybe they have some fantasy that, you know, they're totally ashamed of, for example, expressing to a partner. So I create a safe space for to have these conversations. I do a lot of, we call it normalizing it. Like, it's normal to have that type of fantasy. It's, you know, it's normal that if you're feeling angry that you don't want to have sex with your partner, right? All of these things, right? To help make people create the safety so that we can have these conversations around our sexuality, our intimacy, and our relationship. So that's a lot of what I do with couples. And with women, you know, a lot of women, and this comes in as a couple too, will come to me because they're struggling with not having like desire or a low libido. Women come to see me because they've never had an orgasm, or maybe I had an orgasm 20 years ago, but I haven't had one since, or I have a hard time experiencing that. And I help women understand what's going on in their body, what's going on in their emotional state, so that they can experience pleasure. You know, maybe it's because they feel like I don't deserve to have pleasure, which a lot of women unfortunately feel, right? That goes to the women are worthy piece, that wound that women have about I don't deserve this. So that's how, you know, that's what I do in my coaching world.
You know what? And what I'm thinking, this is a sensitive topic, particularly in the African-American community, and I'll tell you where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
We're now being told, not being told, because counseling has been out there forever, but in the African-American community, we don't really share our business because sometimes we were taught whatever goes on inside the house, you don't share it outside with anyone, no matter what. So this is what I want people who are listening to the show, I want them to hear. It's not an embarrassment. We have to expose. And I don't like to use the word expose. We need to talk about what's going on that's making us uncomfortable. So to you particularly, where you're speaking to a certain group that really doesn't, because you're speaking to all groups on this platform, but I want to address the African-American community who normally don't seek counseling for mental health, much less talking about, right, I'm not having sex with my husband. How would you speak to them now that, hey, it's okay? What would you tell that audience?
You know, I think I would tell that audience the same thing I would tell everybody, which is that, the beliefs that we have about that we need to keep everything, you know, what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? Those beliefs that we have, right, about what happens in your house stays in your house, are not really your beliefs. You've been conditioned by your parents, by your culture, by your society. And when we can start to like release that and say like, oh, okay, actually that maybe, you know, if I had a choice, maybe that would not have been my choice. That starts to give permission to be able to have these conversations. And the other thing is like, if we don't have these conversations, nothing is going to change. Nothing will change. If you put your head in the sand, it's going to stay in the sand and nothing is going to change. And change starts with awareness and change starts with conversations. And I also want to tell people, like, you're not alone. Like, whatever struggle that you're having, there are millions of other women that are having the same struggle. And being able to talk to other women about it helps us feel like better, right? It's like, oh, this isn't just my problem. You're having this problem as well. And maybe we can share resources and support each other. What we want to start to do is to reduce like the emotional charge around not being able to talk about our business. That's what I would say.
And that makes sense because I just received a text from a lady. Her husband served, he's in the military, and every time he comes home, they have a problem reconnecting. The intimacy is hard for them to reconnect because he's gone on such long furloughs that when he does come back, you know, it's like, you know, how do we reestablish holding hands and kissing? So she said she's glad that we're doing the show because I told her I sent this out to a lot of people. Now, let's talk about this amazing book you have. Let's talk about the title. How did you come up with the title? Let's talk about where we can get it and why you decided to write it. So first off, let's talk about the title and the book.
Thank you. So the title, Living an Orgasmic Life. The title came to me when I was doing a vision board about 5 years ago for my sex and intimacy coaching business. And that was the title of my vision board, Orgasmic Life. And I didn't know that it was going to be a book at the time. That was just like, this is the way that I've been living my life. You know, when I left my relationship, I did a lot of exploration of my own sexuality. I worked in the field of sacred sexuality and tantra, and I really did a deep dive. And I started to realize that when I was finally able to connect with my sexuality to heal all of the disconnect that I had with my body and my sexuality and then start to feel pleasure, that was very powerful, and my life started to flow. You know that sense when your life is flowing And it seems like you don't have to work hard at it, but things are just coming to you the way they want, the way you want it to. That's what I talk about. That's what I mean when I talk about living an orgasmic life, because a good orgasm has a flow to it. There's a wave to it. It goes up, it goes down, but it's flowing. And our women's sexuality has a flowing flowing nature to it. And that's where I came up with the title Orgasmic Life, like life should flow like an orgasm does. So that's where the title came from. I wrote the book because I needed to tell my story. I needed to tell my story about what it was like to feel, you know, broken sexually. I needed to tell my story about how I realized where some of my issues came from, some of my traumas came from, and how I healed it, right? So the book is Living an Orgasmic Life, Heal Yourself. That's part one. What are all of the ways in which we get blocked on our sexuality, whether it's the messages that we received around sex from our parents and culture, or whether it's trauma that we experience from sexual abuse, or whether it's like physical trauma that happened when you had a hysterectomy or you had a mastectomy and our female parts were changed, or hormonal issues as well. And then the second part of it is like awaken your pleasure. How do you awaken your pleasure? How do we come back to a place of feeling pleasure, and what of all the different like tools and tips that we women can experience in order to have a better sex life? How do we get our libido back? So that's what the book talks about, like healing yourself and like let's get the pleasure back as well.
Where can we find the book?
You can find the book in pretty much every bookstore, online for sure. Amazon is probably my biggest bookseller. You can find it on my website, which is powerofpleasure.com. So it's there as well, but it's also in Barnes and Noble. It's an indie bound. I believe Walmart is carrying it again online as well. So lots of places to find the book.
Janae, how does your husband and your kids feel about you telling the quote unquote secret? Now that your kids are they're older now and they understand, did you ask your husband, I'm going to use this word, did you ask your husband's permission? Because it's not just your story, it's his story as well. So, or were you just, I'm just going to go ahead and do it and let the chips fall where they may?
My ex-husband. Yes. Great question. So the answer to that is I knew that if I asked permission, it would be denied. And when I wrote the book, I tried my best to be really take it on myself, right? It's not about him, it's about me. That being said, when the book actually came out, there was a lot of anger from him and sensitivity around it. Not even around the sex pieces, but around some other things that I revealed in the context of why we chose each other and some of our emotional wounding as children, and some other things that he wasn't very pleased about and caused a little bit of a ruckus. And so I agreed to make some revisions. So actually, the ebook version is slightly different than the paperback version at the moment. It was interesting, right? Because, you know, my kids were upset. My kids were not upset about the fact that I wrote the book. My kids have been super supportive. And even my ex-husband is super supportive of the work that I do. I don't think he's ever had, you know, any questions about that. But I think they were upset that their father was in pain. And, you know, he is somebody that holds stuff a lot and doesn't release it. And so it was painful for me. I was in a lot of turmoil as well when this was all happening. It wasn't a joyride. you know, and I don't know, maybe in retrospect, I would have shared it with my son, who's also a writer, who actually helped me make some changes to it. And maybe he would have been able to help me tamp it down a little bit. Actually, I think the revisions we made were pretty powerful and good. So, yeah, you know, I guess the message is, when you write a memoir, you know, you potentially expose people. When, you know, this book is partially memoir, so you potentially, you know, expose people, and you have to know there are consequences. But I have to say that it was really important to me to tell my truth. And, you know, sometimes the truth hurts, and there's reality around that. But the truth is what really sets us free, and I think that's true for everybody. I mean, I'm all about being authentic and vulnerable, and I'm very authentic and vulnerable in that book. And, you know, I feel like I told the truth in a way in which it was compassionate. You know, it wouldn't be perceived by somebody who, you know, is on the receiving end of it, no doubt.
Great question. Really, you know, we can go on and on and on. Janae, question. What would you like to take away for the audience, for the listeners who are listening to this show? What would you like the takeaway to be from this entire segment?
Yeah, so I think what I want them to take away is, like, you know, we said that this show is about a sexless relationship, right? And the takeaway is, you do not have to live in a sexless relationship. You do not have to live in a sexless relationship. It can be healed, right? There's a lot of ways in which it can be healed, but there's help out there. And I think a lot of people don't know that there's help out there. And that you can come back into intimacy. Sure, it may take some work, right, and a skilled counselor, a skilled therapist, a skilled sex coach, but you can come back into connection with each other, and it's worth it, right? It's worth it. If there's enough things going well in the relationship, it's worth healing this part of it, because what I see very frequently is this is why divorces happen. You get to a point where you're like, I can't take this anymore, right? Like, I need to have intimacy. I'm missing having somebody who I can really hold and connect with and have touch. That's a very, very important part for us to be able to have in our life.
Beautiful story. I just love talking to you. And again, I said we can do this on and on again. And I would be remiss in not asking this question. Are you comfortable now having sex? Have you had orgasms since you've left your ex-husband?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, my whole journey was about, you know, experiencing my own pleasure, because on the other side of pain is pleasure. And so, yes, I've had amazing sexual experiences. I've had incredible orgasms. My body has done things and opened up in a way that I never, ever could have imagined was possible. So that's all true. And, you know, when I have, like, a new partner, I still have to go slow with intercourse. I just do, right? I know my body well. I know that I need to feel connected. I know that I need to feel safe. I know that I need to be at a certain level of arousal and turn on before, you know, I can have comfortable sex. And I know how to take care of myself. And I think that's, you know, what I teach women in the book, like, how do you take care of yourself? How do you make sure you understand what you need, and how do you get those needs met?
For those listening, please let us know your handles, your social media handles. Please let us know your email address, your website, because I'm sure there's someone out there that may want you to coach them. So if you can please give out your social media handles and how they can contact you again.
Oh, sure. So my website is powerofpleasure.com. The Power of Pleasure is my Facebook page. And I have a Facebook group, which is Talking Love, Sex, and Intimacy with Janae. On Twitter, my handle is Power of Pleasure as well. And maybe, Jackie, we can in the show notes. I don't know if you do show notes. Like I can just give them. We can put down what my social media profiles are. All my other handles.
Honey, we're so professional. We have that already. Okay, we have that.
Oh, perfect.
So
great.
No worries. When I said I stepped up to the next level, thanks to my wonderful and amazing producer, I've stepped up and I have arrived, honey. I've arrived. So
perfect.
We want to thank you for being on our show. Thank you for being a wonderful, wonderful guest. Again, just to let everyone know, this podcast can be heard at uptomeradio.com. That's uptomeradio.com website. Up to Me Radio channel. We're on YouTube. We're on iTunes. Excuse me. That's a YouTube. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher, Google Music. We're all over the place. I told you we've arrived. Please like and share the page and our social media handles on Up to Me Radio and social media. My Facebook page is The Women Are Worthy Show. The Women Are Worthy Show. We're on every Monday night at 7 p.m. We're also on IG, Instagram is The Women Are Worthy Show. Women, plural, W-O-M-E-N, are worthy, plural, Women Are Worthy Show. Now, I hope you've enjoyed the journey of the Women Are Worthy podcast. Make sure, again, I got to keep saying this, please make sure you visit our www.uptomeradio.com website. Subscribe to the Women Are Worthy podcast so you won't miss a show. Go on the uptomeradiowebsite.com, the Up to Me Radio website. Subscribe to the Women Are Worthy show so you won't miss any amazing shows that we're doing. Make sure, guys, to have a great week. And in order to have a great week, you have to have a great life by living your best life. So we want to thank everyone for tuning into the show. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.